everybody. This is Kendra.
And this is April.
And you're listening to Nocturnal Distraction.
I don't know why that's so fun to say it like that.
I know, but really I wait for you every time because I'm like, she's going to do it.
She's going to do it right now.
Just like every time I'm like, we've got a case from the 19, whatever. You're like, do-do-do-do,
do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do. Oh, we haven't had a Back to the Flash.
That's because we haven't needed one for a while. Because I don't do those noises, and you're the one that does the old cases.
That's true. I got to do more of them just so I can make the noise. What drives April? The from Bill and Ted's Excellent.
She gets in her time machine.
I'll be like, hey.
Goes back in time. I about said space.
Time and space and time.
Time and space. Well, so I don't really have any updates for our podcast right now because our analytics are a little,
yeah,
they're a little wonky. I did talk to some of the other ones and they did say that it was something with Anchor. Because it was happening to them. One of them sent them an email, and it was a robot.
Oh,
that was screwing with the number of plays.
Just on certain people, or the overall?
I don't know. It sounds like a few of them. So anyway, what I'm talking about, we go through Anchor to produce our podcast, and it gives us the analytics. So that means,
should we be saying this? Is this going to be a negative thing on Anchor?
No, and
be
mad? They're okay. Fixing it. They fixed it.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's just one of those. It, you know,
it's a thing
it happens. You know, okay. Computers. You know, it's probably somebody who had a podcast on there. They threw a bug into the system, and it happened.
Okay, sorry.
It's computer like, technology stuff. Like, I'm not
okay
concerned about it. Anyway, it shows like our analytics, so it'll show us like the number of plays each episode will have. It'll show us where our audience base is at. So that's how I know like what states are listening to us, what countries are listening to us, etc. So I went on there tonight before recording to look and see, you know, do we have any new states? Do we have any new countries? And the first thing that pops up is it shows how many plays we've had on like the last episode that we published. And that was like a week ago, and it was showing 543 plays. Now, mind you, this is something to keep in mind. Our top rated episode only has 54 plays on it.
Right.
So I'm like,
we're not that cool.
That doesn't seem right. So then I went into like the audience part of it. And at first I checked the United States and I'm like, there's no way we gained like 10 plus states in the last 7 days either. I mean, that's not totally impossible, but. And then I looked at the countries.
And then she's like, this is fucked up. Anchor's fucked up.
I'm like, well, there's got to be a bug here somewhere. I'm going to have to ask somebody because like we went from like 12 countries to like 40.
I know. I was not like, well, it could have happened. Like, and how I'm many like, countries? You're like, no.
I know. I'm like, I've never even heard of some of these countries.
Like, what was that one? I was like, is that even real? It was like, what the fuck was it?
I don't know what it was though.
Here, I'll try looking on mine.
I can bring it up on here.
Yeah, that was just great.
I was like, I would like to believe that we went viral overnight, but like, worldwide viral?
Not so much.
Like, no, that's not a thing.
No.
Mm-mm. Especially in a week. Like a week, we wouldn't have done it.
No.
As much as I would have liked what's up. Let's see. Reunion? That was one. Reunion? Something like that.
No, I think it's.
I know, there's another one.
Had a blue dot.
Oh, there was a Republic of Moldova.
That's it right there. Was that it?
I don't know.
What does the flag look like?
There's the Federated States of Micronesia.
That's it right there, because it reminded me of microchips.
Yep.
The like the
Federated,
Lego things.
If there are anybody out there listening from there, I apologize. But like these are ones that I've never heard of. Bosnia and Herzegovina?
Ooh, that sounds like it's like Russian or from Count Dracula. Where is he from?
Burkina Faso?
Ooh.
You know, like, one's like that. Like, I'm really like, mm-hmm.
You're like, how does that even work?
Hong Kong and Japan, like, I don't think so.
No.
Especially, Germany, what was it, like, Russia. South
Korea or, like,
South Korea was on there. Yeah. Well, there's, like,
not South Japan. Don't even, I'm sorry.
There's also Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan.
Okay. Right? Like, we're just, that wasn't real.
It's not in our audience base. Like, we have not reached places like Pakistan and Tanzania.
You know.
Like, the other ones that we did have on here before, like, yeah, okay, I can see that. But Trinidad and Tobago, United Arab Emirates, no. I mean, our biggest, probably out-of-the-country ones are going to be Australia, France, United Kingdom, New Zealand. Yeah, so when I was scrolling through that, I'm like, this doesn't look right.
Mm-mm.
So that's why I don't have any updates on our podcast itself.
It's okay.
Oh, other than we do have a new logo. I think that has changed since last week.
Yes, I believe so. I like it.
It has been within the last week. So we do have a new logo now, which means that we'll probably be getting new stickers made soon.
Nice, nice. And new shirts!
Hopefully. Yes. And obviously we'll let you guys know when that is all out. I don't have any updates right now on either of the two cases that I've been following, the Texas one and the Hitman one. Because she has court. Actually, I had court sometime this week. But I don't know if I've heard anything else about the Texas team. I'd have to look it up. I'm trying to think if this is anything else. Oh, there's, I don't know how many of our listeners would have heard of this chickadee monster. She's a trash. Her name is Shelly. I'm not going to say her last name. Koenig. Either way, she is terrible.
She's terrible. Who is she?
She's this chick who basically tortured people kind of to death. Only she never actually did anything.
Is this the one that you were telling me about?
The one that had three daughters?
Yeah.
Yes. She's out of jail now.
They let her out of jail? Well,
she was only sentenced to 22 years.
I'm getting socks. 22 years for... Oh my God.
Because she was sentenced to 22, she served 19.
Why not full 22?
And she was just let out, like, within this last week. Why not the whole, because I guarantee that she was a model prisoner.
Oh, who the fuck cares?
I know, but there are people who have been in charge, like, been in there for first degree murder that have gotten out for good.
Find any behavior. Fucking socks. That's just absurd. That's the most I've ever heard of.
And the reason, because it was M Cubed that had actually posted it, because I hadn't heard about it yet either.
Mm-hmm.
And they posted it on their Instagram. And somebody had said, like, why was she given such a lenient sentence? And I'm like, well, the reason that she was given a lenient, like that lenient of sentence, not that I agree with it whatsoever at all, was because they had no physical evidence to tie anything back to her. Because
she didn't.
She never disposed of the bodies. She never actually killed, like, you know, like we would think of as like murder. Like, she never killed anybody. Her hands were not dirty. Because she had other people, like Dickless Dave, her husband, do her dirty work for her. Now, they did have the statements of the daughters, but those are just statements. Those are witness statements from when they were younger. That is not enough to convict somebody of anything. So that is why she had a lenient sentence. And her husband, Nicholas Dave, would not go and testify against her.
What are you? He served all that time because he's the one.
He's in life. He's in for life. The book that was wrote, because the daughters wanted it wrote, he was interviewed for it, and he said that he would agree with his daughters on whatever they said, but he would not say anything else bad against his wife. And he's the one that disposed of the bodies and did the dirty work. She never got her hands dirty, so to speak. So they had no physical evidence to hold her longer than that. So either way, she's out now, and I messaged Charnel from Crime Curious, and I'm like, have you seen this? nuts. And she's like, what the? No.
How old is she?
65.
She's still young enough. You know that she was working out in there, and you know that she's going to find her man and start.
There's going to be
shit.
It's going to go one way. I don't know. Because part of the thing that she did with these people that she tortured basically to death, it was slowly over time. Like, she started gaslighting them. And then Charnel said it was like a frog in a pot of boiling water. They don't know they're boiling to death until it's too late, basically. And she would give them drugs to keep them subdued. And she was able to do that with drugs back then because it was the 90s. They didn't have the systems put in place like they do today to regulate them. So that is one thing that we do have going for us in today's society, is that she will not be able to get her hands on the types of drugs necessary to keep somebody subdued.
Right.
And they're
not right away.
It would take her a while because, like, she had them on, like.
No, I mean, connections, you can get on the streets, but who's going to. She's a 64-year-old lady. Yeah. But you never know.
Like, hopefully they keep their eye on her.
Because she hasn't been reformed or whatever that word is.
No, because there's definitely, like, she's one of those, like, born evil.
Puts glass in her step-siblings' fucking shoes in the Catholic church. What the
She knows how to manipulate. She knows how to get people to do what she says. She's good at gaslighting, like, I did this bad thing to you. I'm sorry, but you made me do it.
Right.
Well, look what you made me do.
Obviously, she's good at something because she didn't serve her.
She was really good at putting on a good face, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her house was always immaculate. She'd have birthday parties and Christmas and everything and make it all look good. But then as soon as people were gone, all the toys were taken away.
Yep. And the torture began.
Yeah. And so she was very good at keeping that front up, that facade. But she had definitely underlying mental health conditions that were never taken care of. Not that that's an excuse.
No, because
because there was certain things that, like, she knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
But there's still a certain element.
I don't know what mental disease would make you waterboard your fucking kid.
There's a lot. That could be the DID. Was it DID?
No. Oh. Fucking psychotic.
Yeah, there's just, like, I know they said there's a whole bunch of different things that she could, who knows. Either way, she's out. Yeah, Charnel's like, well, our listeners aren't going to be happy about that. I'm like, I'm not happy about that. I'm like, I just finished listening to that story for the last, they were from somewhere by an ocean, because that's where they got rid of some bodies. They burned them and then
to, like, Florida. California.
I don't think it was either of those places. It was more upper Maine or somewhere along Oregon. I don't know. It wasn't California or Florida, but it was near enough to an ocean. So there's some fun true crime stuff. If any of you guys have listened, if you haven't heard about that case, check out Crime Curious. It's called, I don't know what episode numbers they are, but it's under, I don't know if it's the world's worst mother or America's worst mother. And it's a two-parter. Each of the parts is like 2.5 hours, but you'll not realize that it's 2.5 hours because you're just going to be sitting there like with your mouth open the whole time going, what the hell? And M Cubed is also working on doing a multi-parter. They were getting ready to start doing that and recording that when this whole thing came out. It's nutty. And it's not one that's well known. It's not a case well known. I'd never heard of it. Yeah. And this was just back in, I mean,
most probably because it was a quiet case in general. It only affected the people in the house and a few others. You
well,
know?
And that's the thing. Like, it affected, I was obviously well known in those communities, but that's why the daughters got in touch with this author or whatever and wanted their story told because they knew eventually she'd be up for. Yada yada. Now her daughters right now hopefully are doing okay with this, but they all are wonderfully successful. Like, her oldest daughter wound up starting a business with her husband, was in living in like a multi-million dollar house, and middle daughter is a school teacher and has kids. A younger sister has a social media, like, representative job with the company. And
it's the middle daughter I'm worried about.
Why?
because she's a school teacher and she has kids and she's home and she's, well, you know, but, I'm but easy older, for a manipulative the oldest, little the fucking one shithead. Has
kids too.
I know, but the middle class one, it seems like that would be the easiest target for her to go in and manipulate.
See, because the thing is with her, she stayed in good with her mom just because her sisters were not, and she needed to see what her mom was up to.
The oldest one did?
No, the middle one.
The middle one.
Yeah. And the middle one learned early not to do anything to piss the mom off. Mm-hmm. Because it would just get worse. Now the oldest one stood up more for herself, but then she'd get punished worse. The youngest one didn't even have any idea what was going on to the older ones because she was so much younger. And she then did. She was getting the same abuse, but didn't realize that her sisters had gone through the same thing, and she didn't tell them because she thought it was just her.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the middle one.
Maybe. But I don't think she's going to be able to get back into her life. The middle one was never, like, weak. She was just using a different tactic to deal with her.
That's good. I just, man.
Yeah, she was one of the first ones that went to the cops, like, once they got out and was in college and whatever.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Kotek, that's how you say your last name, Shelley Kotek. So that's fun.
That's the aunt situation.
That's that. So, anyways, what are you going to say?
Yeah, okay, so everybody, hello. So last podcast, I did one on the world's, like, most heinous, worst criminals that America's ever seen. And
we called them the
how did you say his?
I don't remember what I called the episode now. It was like the butcher of humanity.
Yeah, like this guy, he basically was tortured growing up and then decided to carry on this hatred for humanity throughout his entire life. Mm-hmm. He burglarized President Taft because he signed getting him sent to Fort
when he was in the military,
right? And I had done research on this. Mm-hmm. You know, and here's the thing, like, I'm new at this and I don't know how to dig deep, and Kendra, like, she could dig.
This was like an accidental stumble on, right?
and when we did our podcast, Kendra had found a handwritten letter to the president. Mm-hmm. Or to just society in general. And then she clicked on that, and then she found a whole nother section of shit.
And then I clicked on a few more links that led me to some more links that eventually led me to the entire autobiography that he wrote while he was in prison.
Exactly. So Kendra is going to, and I'm so grateful that I have a co-host, or am I the co? We're the person that I do this podcast with. I don't know how that fucking operates.
You're my co-host. I'm your co-host.
Okay, there we go. Co-host. So my co-host here is super into digging into things deep, and
I don't know if it's that or if I just, like, I'm like, ooh,
and then rabbit hole it, can't, you know, get back out. Yeah, so she's, I'm not gonna say I did a horrible job because Kendra would kick my ass, but she's gonna pick up what I didn't find and, like, another part of it. I don't know, I'm just so grateful.
It's just a different part.
It's a different angle.
This is what I call, like, a bonus episode information type of a thing.
There you go. And it was a need when she called me and said, oh my gosh, like, I found this. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have to do a second episode. She's like, you don't mind? I'm like, fucking do the episode. I'd feel like shit if you didn't do the fucking episode. So that's what Kendra's going to do today.
Yeah. So we are talking about Carl Panzrum. And so what I had been doing was trying to find pictures to post on our socials, and I was trying to find some of these letters because I knew they were out there, and I was just trying to find a couple more of them to, you know, see, which led me to a site that I clicked on, and then I clicked on some more links within that site, and then I pretty soon stumbled upon a PDF of the entire thing, and not just the autobiography that he wrote for himself, but letters that he wrote to other people, things they wrote to him, like, it's a whole long PDF document. Like, there's 362 pages in this thing. I mean, mind you, they're not like a book page, but still, it's 362 pages.
That's a big...
in this PDF. And they're all handwritten. Like, they're just scanned, like, basically, scanned in photos, basically, of what he wrote. So they are in his handwriting, so they're in cursive.
That's crazy that, like, they kept this. You know what I mean?
He was a serial killer. Like, they keep that.
You know, but back then, they didn't. Because
I think it was, like, an author or somebody that he got in touch with that he wanted to, you know, I don't even know.
Oh, because you know what I mean? Because I was watching, there's a show on TV. I can't know what it's called. I can't remember. But it's about being in the mind of a criminal.
Yeah, and I think that's why they keep this stuff.
Right, but back then, they didn't. This was early. They just started doing this, like, getting into it. Like in the early 70s, 60s. And so it's crazy that it was saved. You know, it's really amazing.
But either way, like, since it is, I mean, in cursive, and you have to imagine this was back in 1928. So obviously some of the ink gets faded. There are some pages where it's obvious he wrote in pencil. So I'm doing the best. I've done the best that I can. And I'm not going to get through all of it right now because not only did my brain have to process the cursive writing, which none of us are used to reading, let's face it, but then I had to process what was actually being said. I couldn't just, then I would have to, like, if I wanted to, I would have to retype it all up.
Yeah.
Because I can't just copy and paste and then reformat things in my own typable way. Right. So it was a little slower going as far as, like, researching and
I didn't have chapter markers
to tell me, like, oh, this is about his birth. This is about this. This is about this.
Right. See, this is Kendra. I would have been like, so he wrote this book and he said this, this, and this. And that was the mind of his blah, 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 blah. Like, Kendra's about to get in it. I fucking love it.
To an extent. And I think the other thing that really kind of made me want to read more into it, I mean, besides the fact that he's obviously a serial killer, there's stuff that happened in his life and the stuff that he says about humanity and wanting to kill everybody, was the fact that, first of all, cursive, I know they probably all wrote in cursive, but it's legible cursive. Like, it's not completely illegible. Everything is spelled correctly.
So, like, he's had trained. Like,
he is spelling's good. He is grammatically correct. He is coherent. Like, it's, well, in my opinion,
it's conducive for a through the whole thing.
Serial killer who has spent the majority of his life in institutions, it is very well written.
And coming from a family of immigrants that farmed five kids, you know what I mean? You wouldn't think he would have had the proper training. I don't think that reform school.
He was in reform school and jails from the age 11 till he was executed at 36.
Yeah.
You know, and
so where did he pick this stuff up at? Like, pick up on things, yeah. And he's
I would assume so. So, and it's just, and my biggest thing too with, like, true crime is trying to figure out what their mindset is. Why are they doing this? Why do they pick who they pick? Why, et cetera, et cetera. What was their childhood like? What happened? Now, that being said, we are going to go through this, and I know I've said this before, you can feel bad for the child in their childhood, but that does not mean that you feel bad for the adult in what they do later on in life. Because I'm in no way excusing his actions at all, because there are a lot of people out there who have had it much worse and they don't do this.
Mm-mm.
But it got into his mind that there was one way to go about things. It wasn't the right way, but it's just one of those things. But it also teaches us, okay, guess what? We can't do this to children when they're younger, because it's not teaching them the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not an excuse. Still shouldn't kill people, but we're just going to get started here.
But.
So since I didn't have much of a guide as far as where things were in here, and I'm not all the way through it, I'm just going to kind of follow it in the that he wrote it, because I'm assuming there's a reason that he wrote it in whatever orders and in whatever sections he did. So I'm not going to read it verbatim, word for word type of a thing, but I found there's certain areas that I've highlighted that I found to be
interesting,
yeah, and too insightful into what he thought and his side of things.
Okay,
basically. So we're just going to start off with some history that if you listen to the last one, you probably know it. But he was born June 28th, 1892 in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. And the first thing he does, actually, is list off the jails, reformatories, prisons, and state or government institutions that he has been in, or the top, like, I think, nine that he's been in, and why he was in them. So he answers the questions he puts in here, how he gets into them, how long he stayed in them, how he got out of them. So I think this is just interesting to me, that he's able to, and maybe it's not such a, I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there, they've been in jail this many times, they lose track.
Right.
But he knows why, he knows when, he knows how he got out.
He knows
what name he used, because he used aliases a lot.
Because you were able to do that back then.
Yeah, and he used a lot of them. So, and he, number one was the East Grand Forks, Minnesota. So he had charges there for being incorrigible, which is a bad, remember how we discussed that with Brian? Oh, I'm encouraging. No, incorrigible is totally different. And burglary, which is in the 1903 there.
So that's when he was in the reform school.
Yes, because then he was at county jail first. And then he went to Red Wing, Minnesota. And this is the seat of the Minnesota State Training School. And he stayed there for nearly 2 years. And then
that's the one he burnt down. Or he burnt...
Mm-hmm, the paint shop. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that. And then Butte, Montana, where he was charged with burglary. For 3 months in the county jail, that's where he landed. And then he was tried in the county court and sent at Miles City, Montana. He was held about a year and then made a successful escape in 1906 under then his knight name. So that was his first escape. Keep in mind, I said first escape.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he joined the U.S. Army in 1906, and this was under his real name, and he was stationed at Fort Harrison, and basically within, like, a month or two or three, he got caught for larceny and basically stealing stuff. So then he was tried by the U.S. military and sentenced to 3 years in their military prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Hmm.
Where he served 37 months and was discharged.
And had a big grudge against our president.
Yes, because the president, or not the president at the time, but...
Well, on his way.
Yeah. And then sometime in 1910 or 1911, under a different name, under the name of Jeff... Yeah, I think it's Warren. He was arrested at Jacksonville, Texas, and was sent to Rusk, Texas, the county seat, to where I was tried for vagrancy, the crime being that I was riding a mail train on top, which being with two pistols. So basically he was on top of a train with two guns.
Oh.
And he served 6 to 5 days before.
Okay.
The next night, then he was in Houston, Texas, and there was a big fire there. Apparently at that time in Houston, Texas, and that was around 1911.
Did he start it, or did somebody else?
No, but he was fascinated by it.
He was an
arsonist.
Right, because the whole school thing.
Yep. He was definitely very fascinated with fire. Number eight, he has Fresno, California, which was 1911, 1912. This one was under the name of Jeff Davis, he thinks. The charge was petty larceny, sentenced to 120 days, served 30, and escaped. So it's the third time he's escaped.
Wow.
And then Dallas, Oregon, Dallas, Oregon, under the name of Jack Allen, in 1912, charged for highway robbery and assault, held to await the action in the grand jury, waited about 8 months, and escaped. So that's number four. Seattle, Washington, 1912, petty larceny under Jeff Davis. Served 1 month and then discharged, because you have to keep in mind they didn't have computer systems to be able to check to see that he escaped. So it's not like they're like, you escaped the last one before you were even sentenced, so we're going to charge you more. No, you only got a month.
And using released. Different names and all that jazz. And so, wow. Yeah.
And then he was in Moscow, Idaho in 1912 with petty larceny again and assisting a prisoner to escape.
Oh, so he tag teamed it with somebody.
Yeah, under the name of Jeff Davis. And then Chinook, Montana, charged burglary, sentenced to 1 year state prison under the name of Jeff Davis, served 8 months, escaped, arrested weeks later in Montana for burglary under the name of Jeff Rhodes.
See, I feel like this is all stuff that should have been in my podcast, but I didn't dive.
You touched on it a little bit, and I found out some more when I was just looking for the pictures.
I know, but if I would have been, well, if I knew, I'm not getting down on myself, but this is how come Kendra's doing this, because she, you know.
Basically, if you want, like, if you're just tuning in and you haven't listened, if you want the shortened version of all this, skip back an episode.
Yeah.
And you'll get the whole, like, overview.
So.
This one is the one that I, like, this is the one I find funny, how he served 8 months, escaped, arrested, like, a week later at Montana for burglary under a different name, sentenced to 1 year, and then when he was brought back to the prison, he was taken to, like, the county seat again, given 1 year for escaping from prison, and then there was one in there somewhere where, like, it's like he escaped, he was caught, and then he escaped, was caught again.
Oh, fuck.
Like,
you just guys keep a control on your inmate. Like, how did he escape all these places?
I don't know.
But I, like,
no, it just says escape. Like, apparently it was much easier back then. Astoria, Oregon, 1904, under the name Jeff Baldwin, this time charged with burglary, given 7 years in the state prison at Salem, Oregon, done 1 year and escaped, caught, done one more year, escaped again.
So he's not a very smart burglar because he, or whatever he's doing.
I don't know, but he's getting out too.
Yeah.
You know? And then while he was out that time, 1 week later, he robbed a man, had a gunfight with somebody. Gunfight with the sheriff.
Because we're in an old Western. Because it basically was back then almost.
So for that crime, he was given additional sentences of 2 years for robbery and one of 8 years for assault, which made me have altogether a full 17 years to do in Oregon. But I only did one more year of it and then escaped again. I still owe 14 years to Oregon.
Oh my gosh, I still owe 14 years to Oregon. How does that? Okay.
After escaping from the state prison at Salem, Oregon in 1918, changed his name again to John O'Leary, took out Seaman's papers.
Seaman's papers?
So like a sea, like a on the sea, not like a seaman.
So like not, penis not
seaman like jizz, like a seaman.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like penis paper.
So that way was able to get a passenger's passport and went to South America, Europe, and Africa. So that's when he was able to go in different continents for the next.
Back then, like, traveling was hard. You know what I mean? Because it's not like we get in our cars or a plane and we go. He did a lot of traveling.
No, but it was a lot easier to get a passport.
Yeah, but I mean, just like the places he had been.
And that's because you could, he rode trains. He hopped trains.
Yeah.
And went from place to place. That's how he got places.
That's fucking.
Yeah. And so,
insane in the membrane.
For the next 5 years, so from 1918 to 1923, he was in 31 different countries, had stole and spent thousands of dollars, committed many murders and robberies and other crimes. And the only two times that he was in jail during that 5 years was once when he got caught and sentenced for 10 days for theft in Scotland.
Oh. He went to Scotland too.
Yeah, that's why he was able to. He said he visited 31 different countries. Now, mind you, this stuff too. This is all his words, and so whether or not truth, fiction, whatever, I'm just telling you what he's saying.
Yeah,
and
no, I'm just jealous.
Yeah, I know. And the other one that he was caught was Bridgeport. Should look that up. I don't know what the abbreviation is for burglary. And carrying a concealed weapon. And his last arrest before the one that landed him in jail to be sentenced to death was in 1923 in New York, where he was sent to the White Plain, sent there to White Plain, tried in the county court, and sent to Sing Sing prison. And from there, transferred to Clinton Prison in New York, where he served 5 years. Discharged July 28th, and then arrested 36 days later in Baltimore, Maryland. And that's this case that led him to be
hung,
basically. He says, so those are the main places. Those are the main places that he has done time. But he says that there are about 100 more places where he has been in jail for various different reasons and different periods, from one day to a week or so. Altogether, I've served about 20 years of my life in prison, and I'm 36 years old now.
Damn.
Yeah.
No wonder he gets out. And, you know, if he wouldn't be killing the people that he was killing and the way that they were doing, I would chalk it up to, like, he gets incarcerated. Yeah, and he gets free, he goes out, he brought, you know what I mean? Yeah. He just does stupid shit, but he's like killing.
Yeah, and children. He does this stupid shit. Like, he makes a conscious decision to live this way.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we'll find out. Like, he
clearly can't.
He decides to. You know, and then these are some quotes that we had last time, you know, that, for example, in my lifetime, I have murdered 21 human beings, committed thousands of burglaries, robberies, larceny, arsons, and last but not least, I have committed sodomy on more than 1,000 male human beings. For all these things, I am not the least bit sorry. I have no conscience, so that does not worry me. I don't believe in man, God, nor devil. I hate the whole damned human race, including myself. I'm sorry for only two things. These two things are, I am sorry that I have mistreated some few animals in my lifetime, and I am sorry that I am unable to murder the whole damned human race. And he says, you may do as you like with this that I have written below, or that I have written, believe it or not believe it, publish it or burn it or hide it or any damn thing you care to do with it. So that was like his introduction
to his
his autobiography here. Yeah. Basically, because he said, you know, in his 145 page autobiography, you know, he states the fact, I won't go into this, but he talks about when he was in Africa and the canoe thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the six people that he killed there.
Just for fucking.
Yeah, just for that. And that's just it. Like, I was expecting like him to like explain like why. But he just wanted to.
That's it.
Because he just got into a boat with them. He was in the back. He shot all of them in the back first. And then he shot all of them in the head.
And then he sodomized them.
No, he doesn't say that in here.
Yeah, well, when we were reading.
I don't know, but he doesn't say that in here.
I
am basing everything that I'm saying tonight off of what he says. And he does not say anything about that. He says that after they were dead, he threw them all out into the alligators.
That's funny.
But that's it. Like,
maybe it was when he sold the yacht.
I don't know, because I haven't even gone to there yet. I think he just wanted to prove it good.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. There's no reason for it.
No.
And I think it's because he wanted the people that he was with were able to kill water buffaloes with like sticks and stuff. And he knew he'd be no match for them by himself.
That's weird, because I thought it was crocodiles.
Well, no, but he's just saying, like, the guys that he was going out with, like, they could kill water buffaloes with sticks, so he knew he couldn't just go up against them without, like, taking them by surprise.
Oh, okay. I got what you're saying.
Type of a thing.
All right. Sorry.
So that's why he had, like, the pistol and plenty of bullets.
Wow. Like,
he planned it.
He was
He said they expected nothing. They had their backs to him. He's a crack shot. Fired a single shot into each of the... I'm not going to say the word because he calls them the N-word.
Oh, okay.
Back and then reloaded with a new clip and fired another shot into the brain of each. And then threw them all overboard and the crocodiles soon finished what I had left of them. And this is where he says, like... He puts in here a lot of the times, like... If you want to go fact check this stuff, here's the information that you can go fact check it.
Right, like, go for it.
Yeah. He says the canoe is registered and licensed. It must still be in existence. If it is, there are two bullets in it.
There's two bullets in it.
Yeah, like, this is where it happened. They were full-grown men with families who must still be alive. and probably remember me because they saw me around there. The exact date can be easily ascertained by the records of the port because he rented this canoe. Like, it was through the port there right. and the passengers list.
And I wonder what the people thought when he brought the boat back and just himself and not the rest of the fucking thing.
I don't even know.
Right. I know that you don't know, but like, I could only imagine like what happened to the other people. Oh, you know, the professionals didn't make it out of the fucking crocodile jungle, but I did.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he says what he did with the pistol. He brought it back to the United States, and there's record of him then at the at one of the counties in Connecticut where he sent it in the winter of 1922 from Yonkers, New York, under his own name.
Right.
Or under the name of, I guess, different name, of Captain John O'Leary.
Okay.
And gave the address, and then he sent the pistol to them, and they sold him a silencer for it. So all of that's going to be recorded, too, because he wanted a silencer because he thought it would do more damage, and he found out that it doesn't.
Oh.
But either way, this can all be verified. Like, this was the pistol, this is what they sold me, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, my God. This guy's fucking crazy. Not really. He's not really great, guys, but like, holy fuck.
And he ends that whole part with, I have lived 36 years in this world and soon expect to leave it. All that I leave behind me is smoke, death, desolation, and damnation.
Oh, wow. Just to be so proud of.
No.
Wow.
Okay. I feel like I've skipped some stuff. But not. See, okay, so this is when he, like, he talks about some of this stuff, and then he starts back his childhood. So that's where I was messed up there.
Okay, okay.
So this is where this is an interesting part that I found, because we talked in the last episode about how he picked people,
right?
And you had the theory, sort of,
yeah,
that
they were
the ones that abused him. They were the ones that.
Yeah, like, I figured...
Like a revenge-ish...
Yeah, so I thought that he was just, like, picking criminals or, you know, people that were like him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to get rid of all the shitheads. But later on, with the 12-year-old boy, I realized that was a lie.
Mm-hmm. So what he says then about all that is, he says, you will find that I have consistently followed one idea through all my life. I preyed upon the weak. The harmless or unsuspecting. Those I harmed were all weaklings, either mentally or physically. Those who were strong, either in mind or body, I first lied to and led into a trap where they were either asleep or drunk or helpless in some way. I always had all the best of it because I knew ahead of time just what to expect and the others did not. I therefore was strong in my knowledge and strong in my body, and stronger in my body than those I preyed upon. This lesson I was taught by others. Might makes right.
Might makes right.
Yes. So he preyed upon the weak.
Yeah.
Like mentally and physically weak. And then if they were stronger, he figured out a different way around it.
Right. Like he was always going to win.
Yes. So
he's always going to get you before you got him.
Yep. So it wasn't even necessarily people who had done wrong, right? He just.
Well, what did he say? Go back a couple. I think it was basically like, because he knew better than them, right? Like,
well, it was just.
It just reminded me of like, I'm going to get you before you get me. Like the
and
world
that's,
is.
That's kind of what it is. And that goes back into his childhood here.
Right. Everybody must be shitheads, and I'm going to be the shithead first. That's that whole narcissistic and empath, right? Like, they say that when you're younger. Like, because an empath and a narcissist, they're not born that way. They're created that way. So they say that something traumatic happened in your, not in all cases, but something traumatic happens to you, right? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, you decide, I will never allow anybody to go through this that walks through my path, you know, and you mm-hmm. become that protector. Or the narcissist who is like, me, 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 I am never going to be in this situation. It seems like he took that me, 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 like, I'm going to get you before you get me. I'm not going to be on the shit end
which,
of the stick
which
anymore.
Could be, but if it was more of a, I'm going to get you before you get me, why would he be threatened by somebody who's mentally and physically weak?
I don't know.
Like, because that should be the ones that he would be protecting.
But that also could be a narcissistic way of thinking, that they are not intelligent. They're just fucking stupid. You know what I mean?
But I don't know.
You never know. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Okay. So now we get back into like his kind of his childhood. He said his parents were of German descent and they were hardworking, ignorant, and poor. The rest of my family consisted of 5 brothers and 1 sister. So he had 6 siblings altogether. All of whom are dead except for three of us brothers and our sister. So his parents at this point are both dead and two of his brothers.
I wonder how he got all that word. Okay.
Huh?
How he found that out, because he's been traveling. He obviously like kept in touch with somebody.
He goes on to say his mother and father split up when he was about 7 or 8 years old. His dad basically just left and disappeared one day, and that left his mother with a family of 6 kids and a small farm to work.
Yeah.
And as the older children grew up, they left right away. And that basically, at the end, left him, his sister, and an older brother and the mother. So basically, they went to school during the day, and they spent all evening into the night working in the fields. You know, slave laborish type of a thing.
Right.
And everything he did was like wrong. You know, it was never right. And everything was always right for the one who was the strongest. And every single thing that I did was wrong. Everybody said so anyway. But right or wrong, I used to get plenty of abuse. Everybody thought it was all right to... Sorry, this word. This is part where I'm like, what? To abuse me, I think. Lie to me, kick me around whenever they felt like it. And they felt like it pretty regularly. At this time, that's the way my life was lived until I was about 11 years old. So, yes, he was the smallest, the weakest, so he was picked on. This is where he starts learning that might is right. You know, that stronger gets ahead. That weakness means you're going to get punished, etc.
So, here's my thought. You're doing a way better. She's doing better job at this than I did, by the way. But like, I wonder, like, so when we're younger, we always think that I'm not saying that he didn't get the shit kicked out of him, because back then everybody, you know what I mean, but in his mind, like, everybody was picking on him. He couldn't do anything right at all, like, that's a narcissist's way of thinking, like, fuck you guys. And that's when it turns into, like,
I think
a self-absorbed
it might have started turning at that point.
Yeah.
I think as a small child, you are just going to think like, oh my gosh, I can't do anything right.
Right. And if he had a mental component, like, it would seem like things are a lot worse. So in his mind, he created. But what makes me believe that it was true is because everything that was happening at that, that one school, you know?
Oh, yeah, well,
fuck.
And so, like I said, he's being abused there. So at that time, that's how his life was. And it was also about that time that he did begin to suspect there was something wrong about the treatment he was getting. Because here's the thing. To him or to any child at that point, like, if you don't have any outside connections with people, you don't realize that how you're being treated is wrong.
Right.
You think that that's how everybody is being treated. But when he started hitting 11 years old, he started to realize his treatment was worse than other people were getting it. Other people his age had it.
Yeah.
And he was like, wait a minute, this was not cool.
This is not part of the fucking deal, dude.
Yeah, and he started to realize, too, that there were other places in the world besides just there.
Oh,
like, he started to recognize the larger world around him. And so then he decided to run away. That did not work out well for him.
The hobos, right?
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
So this first time he decided to run away, he decided he needed, you know, some money or something first. He had a neighbor who was rich, and so he broke into there, and house full of nice things, and all he was, mind you, he's 11, so he took, like, some apples and cake and a pistol.
Like you were saying earlier, like, just needs, you know what I mean?
Yep. So, you know, he got all that stuff and got onto a freight train that was going west, where he intended to be a cowboy and shoot Indians. Indians because he says it, not because I'm saying it.
Okay.
I'm just clarifying that. These are his words. But I must have had my wires crossed because I missed my connection somewhere and basically just didn't get off the train the right way. And he was caught, brought back home, beaten, half to death, and then sent to jail from there.
Oh, wow.
And from there, he went then to the state training school.
Oh, shit.
Which is where really stuff happens. And he goes right there, and then I began to learn about man's inhumanity to man.
Oh, wow. Oh, say that again, man's?
Man's inhumanity to man.
Huh.
They started him off by trying to beat the Christian religion into him.
Oh, great.
Which always goes well. And the consequences were the more they beat and whipped me, the more I hated them and their religion.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Funny how that works.
Right.
They beat me and whipped me for doing this and for not doing that. Everything, again, everything he seemed to do was wrong. And I don't have any doubt that in this school,
that was right.
The way he's describing it, because remember, this is all based on what he is saying. I'm taking what he is saying. I am taking it as fact.
Right.
Whether it is, I don't.
But, and then there's articles of things. So, I mean, yeah.
Yes. But this school did seem like they would just,
not
eat anybody for anything.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the time, you know, he's here from like 11 to 13 years old, you know, and he was just learning to think for himself, you know, and at first he thought that he was being unjustly imposed upon, right? And then he began to hate the ones that abused him.
Right.
And then he began to think about how he would have his revenge just as soon as whatever. And he could injure someone else. And then this is when he starts to say, it doesn't matter who.
Oh.
It says, anyone at all would do. If I couldn't injure those who injured me, then I would injure someone else.
Oh, wow. He just wanted to fucking hurt people the way he was hurt.
He said, from that day to this, I have followed that line of thought.
Oh, wow.
So from that time right there, it was, if I can't hurt those who hurt me, I will just hurt somebody else.
Right. Somebody's going to get it. I'm not the only one that's going to have been through this fucking shit.
Yeah. Even though I'm in mad and I am hurt by somebody else, I'm going to go do the same thing to somebody else.
Right.
Not good. Not eye for an eye is never a good idea.
No.
But this is where he's learning this. This is the first time that he's starting to learn it. So like I said, that's what he'd spent the next 20 years of his life doing.
Literally doing. He did not back down from that whatsoever.
And then he goes to talk about some of his years in prison and the different punishments that he had while in prison too.
Oh shit.
You know, he said the worst torture that anybody could pose upon any other man. For example, and I'll have to look these up later, he had the whip, the paddle, the snorting pole.
Is that in prison or is that in the...
Yes, this is in prison. Hummingbird. I forgot to look these up. I was really going to, and then I spaced it. Because these are weird ones.
What was the first one?
One of them was... I mean, I know what a whip is, the paddle. The snorting pole.
Okay.
The hummingbird.
Okay.
The hose.
The hose. I'm guessing just the hose.
Maybe. Okay. And the jacket. I'm guessing what that is. And then he said he was chained up frontwards, backwards. He was raped, gagged, water cured. I'm assuming that's waterboarded. Starved, beaten, thrown into sweat boxes, half cooked, thrown into ice cold, dangerous freezers and frozen. I had solitary confinement for years at a time. Etc., etc., and that was just in prison.
Snorting board.
Snorting pole.
Pole, that one. Okay, snorting pole. Damn. Okay.
So that was the prison time type of stuff. So now we're going to go backwards in time. Like I said, I'm following how he's reading it, or wrote it. So when he first went to the Minnesota State Training School, he was about 11 years old. Then he was lively, healthy, and very mischievous. And, like an 11-year-old kid, basically.
Right.
What?
No joke. So I put up the snorting pole, and right away it brings him up.
Nah.
That's a fucking trip.
Say what it is.
I had to. I'm getting there because it's dictating me to hear. Oh, it's his fucking letter, but it's a typed one.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
I could not.
Oh find no, this it, is no. just a definition.
Let's say I could not find the typed version of this anywhere. Believe me, I would have found it.
Okay. So I'll just screenshot that, and then when you're done there, yeah. I'll read.
Okay. And so anyway, the law that sent him there immediately proceeded to educate me to be a upright Christian citizen. They trained me all right in the training school. There, during my 2 years, I was trained by two different sets of people, basically. He puts everyone there into two different sets.
Okay.
There were the good people who tried to train him to be good, and the bad people who did
the complete opposite.
Who tried to train him to be bad, right? So the method that the good people used in training me was to beat goodness into me and beat badness out of me.
Oh.
They done their best, but their best wasn't good enough. And I think it goes on later on to say that the bad ones did the same thing.
Oh. Oh my God.
Yeah. So there was that.
So basically there is no difference.
No, not at all. And then when he was first like taken over to that school, they did like a, what I would consider like an intake process, right? Where they ask him questions about family history, all that fun stuff. You know, his name, his parents, his habits, his schooling, his home life, his history, or any of his associations, which is funny to ask an 11-year-old, but
you know.
He asked if his father was insane. He was asked if his father was dumb or lazy or industrious. He also was asked if the mother was a prostitute or a drunkard, or if she was educated or if she was ignorant. You know, basically the questions that we all get asked whenever we go to a doctor, but it was just asked in ways that weren't the nicest.
No.
Yeah. And then he also did a physical on him. This is not like a sexual abuse type of thing. This was like just a general physical, but some of the questions asked were a little bit strange.
It's almost like they were stereotyping, like, you're this way because you came from
You're and trash. They were trying to get Christian into him.
Right.
So he was asked if he had ever committed any fornication or sodomy, or had ever had, you know, sodomy committed on him,
right,
or if he'd ever masturbated.
Okay, right.
So he covered all those things, and then it was explained to him in detail and very thoroughly just what was meant by each of those things. He said, that began my education. I have learned a little more since.
So they were educating him on things he didn't even fucking know about.
No. And I think, like, we could sit here and say, why did they? But at the same time, if they were trying to figure out, has this happened to him? He doesn't know what exactly we mean. We have to explain it to him.
Right.
But at the same time,
that's a bit.
It's a bit much.
Yeah.
It's a bit much. Like, there's gentler ways to go about that now, like a little more sensitivity used. But I honestly kind of thought that was funny that it was explained to him in detail. Like what masturbation things were. And the fact that that's apparently a bad thing. He's an 11-year-old kid. In the next couple of years, if he's not already,
he's going to be doing those things.
It's going to be happening. Whether or not, you beat Christian into him. And unfortunately, a lot of these places back in that time period were like this. You know, was it beat the, I can't think of what the phrase is, spare the rod, beat the child,
mm-hmm,
type of a thing. Like, if we just beat Christian into them, then they'll become a good person.
Yeah.
If we punish them enough, that'll make them good.
Yeah.
You know, if we, whatever, you know, that's just.
Because it's basically, they're going to learn that if they're not good, they're going to get the fucking shit kicked out of them.
Pretty much. So that's how that school went. back.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Good gravy. So, they are beating the good out of him, and they're beating the bad out of him, and they're beating the bad out, good out of him, and beating the bad into him.
Just lots beating of fucking
the good,
beating.
No, they're beating the good ones are beating the good into him and beating the bad out of him, and the bad ones are beating the good out of him and beating bad into him.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And then they had Sunday school lessons, of course.
Oh, because that's what every good Christian does after you get a beaten.
Uh-huh. And they had to learn these lessons, right? And he, at this point, was not very good at memorizing and learning these things. And failure to learn them meant he got whipped.
Well, and that's how come he learned such good, like, whatever, because he'd get the fucking shit kicked out of him.
So for the first year that he was there, he was used to getting a beating every Saturday night. And sometimes three or four more times during the week for something that I was supposed to do, or not doing something that I was supposed to do. So
because he looked and he said that sky is blue, he got the shit kicked out of him, basically.
So he goes, "Oh yes, I had plenty of abuse. They had various methods of punishing us for doing wrong and in teaching us to do right. The most popular with them was to take us to the paint shop." So now we're getting into the paint shop.
Oh, so we're at his younger age.
He's told that at school.
Okay.
And it was called the paint shop, so called because there they used to paint our bodies black and blue.
Oh.
It was a very ingenious for them to use this place because, what do I say? I don't know how we worded this. I'm trying to think of how to word this without it. It's not good. Okay. This is just going to be a trigger warning here for a bit.
Should I step out of the room for this?
No. Okay. You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to.
Like, anybody else, if you don't want to listen to this, just skip forward a little bit. It's child abuse stuff. It's not good. But you have to stay.
no, I don't.
Hold on to your boobs. So, I'm just going to read this straight off here, because that's the best way I could think of to do it.
Okay.
So, they would used to have a large wooden block, which we were bent over and tied face downwards after first being stripped naked. Then a large towel was soaked in salt water and spread on our backs.
Nope, I got to leave the room for this. Seriously, Kendra, I got to leave the room for this. You let me know when you're done with that. Holy fuck. They did this to children, people.
Are you going to be able to, like, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me know when you're done. Just give me a holler.
Okay.
Okay.
So they put the salt water that was on the towel and they spread it onto the back from shoulders down to the knees. The man was then took a whip and started to basically whip him on the back. And it was a fairly thick strap. It was 4 inches wide and 2 feet long with a handle on it that was about 2 feet long. The strap had a lot of little round holes on it. And every time the whip came down on the body, the skin would come up through these little holes on the strap. And after 25 or 30 times of this, little blisters would form and then burst. And right there and then, hell began. The salt water would do the rest. Because you have open sores then with salt water getting into them. About a week or two later, a boy might be able to sit down. Maybe. If he didn't sit down on anything harder than a feather pillow. He used to get this racket regular, and when I was too ill to be given that, he used to take smaller straps and beat him. Now, we're going to pause. April!
Okay, here I come.
So, did that. So that's what came out of the paint room.
Wow.
Type of a situation. So then he put to work in, because they thought he was too dumb to learn. So they took him out of school and they put him to work in the washing dishes and waiting tables in the officer's dining room.
Oh, that's just great. I can only imagine what the fuck happened to him in there.
No. I think it's more stupid because you're torturing a kid and then you put him in with the officers and their food.
Right.
Poison. And that's where he has fun.
Nice.
Nice. So right then is when he began to get a little revenge. When I used to serve the food to some of the officers, I used to urinate in their soup, coffee, or tea, and masturbate into their ice cream or dessert, and then stand right beside them and watch them eat it.
Nice.
They enjoyed it, too. They told me so. I wish they could read this now.
Oh, so do I.
So, that's like I said, awesome. It's like, really? You're going to put there with your food?
Right.
You guys are complete morons.
Mm-hmm.
Oy.
That's great.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's fucking fantastic. I'm so glad that he did that shit. Because a lot of people would probably be scared. He was like, fuck that shit. I'm pissing and jizzing in your shit.
I know, right? And then watching you eat it. And you tell me that it's really good.
Great. Lick your lips, motherfucker.
He did attempt to escape. But he got caught, brought back, beaten, blah, blah. I don't want to say blah, 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 because that feels like I'm skirting over it, but that's what they did. The next thing he tried to do was put poison into one of, like, they were putting, like, these dorm-style rooms, kind of, okay, or, like, cabins, kind of like a camp. And they had, like, one dude in, like, a den mother type of a situation.
Okay.
So he tried to poison the guy that was in charge of his
den mom?
Yeah. And so he tried to poison him by putting rat poison in his rice pudding, but they caught him.
Oh, shit. I bet that was a bad one.
Caught him, beat him, put him out of the dining room and into band. They put him in the band.
Like the marching band? Okay.
So he learned to play one note and never learned one since.
Okay.
And about that time, he began to figure out some other ways to punish those who punished me. The only thing I could figure out to do was to burn down the building in which the paint shop was located. So this is where that came up. This is where he's like, okay, well, I can't punish them anymore by jizzing in their stuff. What else can I do?
Right? I'm going to take their torture chamber away.
Like, where else can I do something to take away something? And so he did. He got a long, thick piece of heavy cotton string, wrapped it around and around a long, round stick, lit the end of it and hid it in the laundry near some oil-soaked rags. That night, the whole place burned down and cost over $100,000. And he says, nice, eh? So he burned down the paint shop.
Right.
And he was never caught. Like, which honestly, I'm kind of shocked, but...
Right. Because it could have been of anybody because you're torturing any of them at any time.
So it's like, you know...
I mean,
but I kind of took away their building where they did that stuff.
That's good, but I'm sure they just found it.
They still did.
Yeah.
But
that's a good...
It's one. See, and this is the beginning part where you can feel bad for him and be like, that's awesome. Good. Yeah.
But it should have stopped
there. Power to you.
Right.
Because I think that was well deserved. It was well deserved that those officers got jizz in their food. It was well deserved that their building got burned down, you know?
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing.
Pretty much.
And this is when he started being taught by some of the other boys how to actually perform if he ever wanted to get out of that school. They told me to act like I was a very good boy, tell everybody I met how much I loved, quote, loved Jesus, and how I wanted to go home and be a good boy, go to school, and learn to be a preacher.
Right.
He did just that, too.
And then the beating stopped.
Yep. They suggested... And he says, I done just as they suggested, and I'd be damned if it didn't work out just as slick as they told me it would. I was called before the parole board one day, and there I told them all the lies and all the hot air I could, and they gave me a parole and let me go home. In that way, I first found out how to use religion as a cloak of hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. To cover up my
demons.
I had this word earlier. But basically, it was to cover up anything they did wrong.
Right.
Because the cloak of hypocrisy. One of the boys who showed me how to fool the law was a boy named Gillespie. He is now the chief or captain of police.
Oh, fuck.
the guy that was in charge of his, like, bunkhouse
mm-hmm.
was dishonorably discharged at one point by the head superintendent at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fired for committing some kind of immoral act on some of the boys.
Oh, I wonder if that's when they went public, remember?
Probably. Okay. Probably part of it. Because then this same superintendent that fired the first dude mm-hmm. was then himself later dishonorably discharged mm-hmm. for inhumane treatment of the boys under his care.
Yep.
So that's when stuff was starting to go, kind of come out. And he said all of these things are on file mm-hmm. among the records of the MSTS at Red Wing in Minnesota and can be verified by anyone who cares to check the facts. So this is another part where he's saying, this happened. You can go look it up.
Right.
So he served there for 2 years. You know, said he was going to be a good boy, basically.
Right.
And was let out on parole. And he said, they said that he was reformed and pure as a lily.
Pure as a lily.
And he goes, yes, sure. I was reformed, all right. Damn good and reformed, too. When I got out of there, I knew all about Jesus and the Bible, so much so that I knew it was all a lot of hot air. But that wasn't all I knew. I had been taught by Christians how to be a hypocrite, and I had learned more about stealing, lying, hating, burning, and killing. I had learned that a boy's penis could be used for something besides to urinate with, and that a rectum could be used for other purposes than, I don't know the word he uses here, it's like crepitating.
Right, but I mean shit.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I had learned a hell of a lot from my expert instructors. Furnished to me free of charge by society in general and the state of Minnesota in particular. So that's what he learned there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and after that, that's when he fully decided just how he would live his life. He made up his mind that he would rob, burn, destroy and kill everywhere he went and everybody he could as long as he lived. That's the way I was reformed.
And that's that.
In the training tool. And that's the reasons why.
I see why this is going to be a multi-parter.
Yeah. So what others may have learned by the same sort of treatment in other and similar institutions, I don't know. This I do know, that in later years I have met thousands of graduates of those kinds of institutions, and they were either in, going into, or just leaving jails, prisons, madhouses, or the rope and electric chair.
Damn.
So, like I said, there was a lot of these types of places at that time. A mm-hmm. lot. Because they didn't know what to do with people. They didn't know what to do with kids. And they thought the way to do it was to get them to somehow Christians by
just beating the fuck out of them.
Basically.
So are we just doing the childhood and then the next podcast we're going to be doing the rest of this stuff? Or like how do you, because what we're an hour into this or more?
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming that he goes into detail with every place that he's
yeah,
been
but I wasn't
into.
Going to go into
I mean, I don't
a
mind.
Lot, a lot
I just...
of it, like as far as what I want to say. Like, as he gets super older,
yeah,
it's more along the lines of just how his thought process is going and how he gets around and when, like, other stuff happens to him.
I gotcha.
We haven't touched upon, the first time he kills anybody.
Yeah, no, I know.
But the problem I'm running into now is that the highlighted things are not showing up on this one. Because with the PDF... FYI, everyone, I had to highlight parts of it, and that does not save automatically and transfer from one place to another.
Ah.
It's just on whatever device I was on, and I thought that I'd save the newest version into here. I might not have.
This would be a good stopping point?
Might be a good stopping point.
It might be. She says it might be. I just...
Like I said, it's just... it's a good stopping point. So, he's 13 now at this time, mind you.
And he's been through all of that already.
Yes, he's been through everything that I've basically talked about in the last hour.
Right.
Sorry.
And when he leaves from this place, he goes home, finds out that his brother, the favorite brother, is dead.
No, he had already died.
He had already died before that. Okay.
No. He goes home after this and says that he goes home and is told you need to earn your keep by doing farm work. Took him about a day to realize, I don't want to do this shit anymore. And then he went and told him, like, I want to go back to school and be a preacher. And then he starts going to school to do preacher stuff. Because that's what he's learned, how to use that as a way to get out of doing shit.
Right.
And that leads to other stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so he starts being able, now.
Yeah, he starts being able to learn how to manipulate, and then he starts, then he will start running away, and that's when he starts getting the alcohol, and that's when he starts to, all that other stuff. But yeah, he's only 13 at this point. But like I said, one of the things to keep in mind is the time period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that there's a lot of stories out there.
Oh, yeah. And at 13, you're basically a man because they get you started back going then, early. Yeah. You know what I mean? And life expectancy. Yeah.
And the whole thing is what we know about child development now is how their brains are. I mean, your brain's not fully done being formed until you're like 23.
Right. And if you're beating the shit out of a kid.
And so like anything that happens to children, like their brains are still forming. And so their trauma is burned into their core, basically. I mean, once again, no excuse. We didn't know that necessarily. They were taught to be a grown up at a very young age. But this is some of the repercussions. Like he said, you know, a lot of these people that were at these reform schools did wind up in prisons and jails and madhouses and everything else, because who are they supposed to go and talk to?
Right. So the one that became like the sheriff or policeman mm-hmm. of that one town, I wonder if he went on to abuse.
I don't know. Or if he decided, I want to protect these guys. Or
it could go either way.
I feel like that's what happens most of the time with these kids. They either go the way of like
narcissism
or the criminal life, or they go the way of, I'm going to not let this happen to anyone else by stopping it to begin with.
Not in the violent way.
Yeah. But in a way that I can actually help people.
Exactly.
Yes. And the other thing to keep in mind too is like, this didn't just happen at schools back in like the 1920s. This happened all the way up to the 1970s.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, and
oh yeah.
It's just crazy.
It's sad.
And so it is sad. It is. And I am making no qualms about that at all. Like, I don't want anyone to think that. Like, I know that the way that I'm explaining it makes it seem like I'm being very matter of fact
mm-hmm.
about it, because that's the way that I can get through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I have to dissociate a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You know, because I am a mother. I have a child. You know, I can't even imagine what this would be like for a child. So when you guys hear me discussing cases like this in the future, because there will be ones in the future, it's not unfeeling. It's not.
You're just really good at disconnecting.
It's because I've spent the last week researching it and reading it over and over and over again in order to get to the point where I can compose myself mm-hmm. well enough.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to present it in a way that
is professional.
Yes.
Basically. I cannot do that.
Basically. And so, like I said, this kind of gives you guys like a background on what can lead up to, what might lead up to, what could be the cause of his turning out this way. The nurture versus nature thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know I'm repeating myself here a lot, but again, the way he writes, it's very succinct, I think that's the word, and coherent and well written, which is also blows me away, I think, in a way.
Well, he got the shit kicked out of him. He had to. He learned that if he could do that, I think he probably learned what he learned because he knew that he could use it to manipulate.
And that could be, but you don't generally see from the 1920s somebody going through all that for 20 years of their life to be able to still want to do this, to be able to even care about getting their side of the story out mm-hmm. to somebody. And he says that at one point, like, he's like, I don't care what you do with this. I don't care if you publish it. If even if just one man, yourself, reads this, that's enough for me.
I think that might have been his whole point, because I mean, I'm sure his whole life he wanted
somebody, his side to be told.
Yeah, like,
because everybody knows what everything else is. He's like, I want to tell my side. This is my way of doing it.
And it could have been like, does somebody care? Mm-hmm. Like, this is what he's screaming for help throughout the whole entire time that he's being tortured. And finally, he's like, nobody's going to care. Mm-hmm. Maybe he just wanted somebody to care. I could relate on a lot of levels. Mm-hmm. However, here's a prime example. Like, my stepdad was horrible, and some of that stuff mm-hmm. was done to me at a young age. And like, I'm not out there killing anybody. Exactly. I'm not murdering anybody. Exactly. You know what I mean? And so my heart goes out to him, and I could see where that change would happen, because I know, like, I'm not a trustworthy person. I don't trust mm-hmm. Kendra. You know that. And like, I always go to worst case scenario.
Yes, you do.
And the things that my brain could fucking conjure is insane. Mm-hmm. So my view on most of society is shit. Right. But I'm not going to go out on a crusade trying to fucking kill people.
Well, yeah, especially random people. Like, that's different than being like a vigilante.
Yeah.
Like, just randomly, like, I'm going to pick you because you're weak. Mm-hmm. That's not cool.
And it sucks because, you know, like,
or abusing young children like you were, like, that's not cool. Mm-hmm.
And it sucks that he was never shown another way. So in his mind, everybody's like this because of his upbringing, where he was put, and the places that he put himself in.
But say a lot of it is where he put himself in, because yeah. he decided right after that reform school that this is the way I want to live my life, not the way I have to, but the way I want to.
Yep.
He and decided that for himself.
Yep. And that takes you around people who do shady shit. Mm-hmm. And when that's all you're surrounded with, that's all you know. Of course, that's all you think the world is.
Yeah, but the thing with him is, as we find out kind of later on in his life, he knows that it's not the way the world is.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, is that he understands that what he's doing is not correct. But he still chooses to do it. Uh-huh. And that's where that switch between feeling bad for him and thinking he's just a monster and terrible person occurs. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always say, like, you can feel bad for the child and how he was brought up, and the torture and the abuse that he sustained. And you can understand the things that he did as a child. But once you're old enough to understand there's repercussions to your actions and what you're doing is wrong and you know it. Nope.
Nope.
That's not cool. You don't get to decide that.
Not so much. So yeah, that was the first part of Kendra's redo. First part, second part.
Yeah,
whatever.
Didn't mean this to like turn into like a two-parter here, but
that's okay.
Like I said, it's all in cursive. You guys have seen the Instagram one. Try reading 300 some pages of that and like trying to get it into like some sort of.
So if you want to leave any comments about it or visit us, if you go to the bottom of our show notes, you can go to there, but it's nocturnaldistractions.com, and I'll take you to Instagram. Twitter.
You can go on Twitter. You can tweet us on the.
You know, the only one that Twitter is on coming to mind is twat, and that is so far from what the fuck that is. Twitter twat, right? That's the only thing I could think of that rhymes with it. So we don't have a twat page, but we do have a Twitter page you can go to, and Instagram, and so just go to the bottom of the show notes and leave us a review. And a written one would be awesome.
Go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a written review. You can leave written reviews on Audible also. And then Spotify, you can give us 5 stars. Send us an email. We've got a case request form. If you guys want us to cover a particular case, please fill that out. We'd like ideas. We like covering. I would like to cover cases that come from our listening audience.
Yeah.
You know, we want to talk about what you guys want us talk about also, not just what we want to talk about.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Okay,
let's talk about you. And sorry,
we're not that kind of podcast.
We're not that kind of podcast at all. But
there are some podcasts apparently that are like that. Like there's podcasts for everything.
Right, but salt and pepper.
We are not that type.
I don't know. You're saying that, and that's all I can think of.
Lost my train of thought now. Thanks a lot.
We like to hear what you want us to hear. Talk about.
Yes, and
we're not tired.
Go on our Instagram. I'm not sure what I'll have for pictures this week. I might put a couple more pages of his handwritten stuff up there, just like I did with the last post. It's not like I have any other pictures of him. I already put those up there. You guys already know those. Right. on Instagram is probably the best place to get a hold of us, other than maybe our email. I try to check it as much as I can. But Instagram is probably the best.
Okay.
So send us a DM on there. I always look at any of the messages that come in. I respond to the ones that are not, you know, robots and wanting to promote our podcast and have us pay $500 a month to get blah, 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 blah.
We love you.
Jack off.
Jack off with their twat.
I did respond to one of them. It was funny the other day. Well, they're like, for $500, you can gain this many followers. And I'm like,
want to buy my followers. No, thank you. Come again.
I'm good because I was looking for this. I would rather burn that $500 than give it to you.
Right.
Thank you, though.
Thank you. Come again.
Actually, I think that it said something about, like, send us a video. I'm like, in case you didn't notice, for a podcast, we don't do videos. So since you don't even know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I will roast back at the... I will, like, what is the troll back at the right. ones that are on there that say, promote. We'll promote you. We'll promote you. Promote here. It's like,
you'll lead them on.
I'll just comment every once in a while because it's just, it gets annoying. Like, as soon as you post something, you have a comment by a promoting bot saying, promote here.
Right. So, yeah, you could do that. We love you.
I'll just promote myself by talking for an hour and a half, doing two-parters and shit.
Yeah, but you're not doing it by yourself. You're doing it with me, and we love you.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And apparently so do, you know, 75 countries right now.
That is fucking great.
And apparently a lot of people liked your episode last time.
Right? Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. We love you.